Okay, welcome to the Revive Your Honeymoon Period in Your Relationship. And this is our final class, number 4. And I'm really glad you guys have been staying with this and learning a lot. I've been getting some feedback multiple ways, and that's really great. I'm really glad. Okay, today we're going to start off talking about gender values. Now, these are values based on our chemistry, the brain chemistry. So some of these we've talked about, some of them are new. So for example, for the men, male bodies are really trying to increase their testosterone and their dopamine because they use them up very quickly. So their bodies are typically always looking for more. Okay, female bodies are always looking for oxytocin and serotonin. Why? Because females use those up more. So especially the serotonin, if there's any stress, women use up their serotonin. And the oxytocin, our culture is terrible at giving women oxytocin anyway. And so when serotonin goes down, oxytocin goes down. And actually vice versa. So both of them always help each other. Testosterone, oxytocin are hormones. And dopamine and serotonin are neurotransmitters. Now, you don't need to really know that that's what they are, okay? And since they work together, it just kind of think that, you know, they help each other. Okay, so for men, what brings up, in other words, the value that brings up the testosterone, dopamine, is to do things and be praised for what he does. His actions. Okay? Now, for the woman, what is the value is to be respected and valued for who she is. So, actually, when you criticize a woman for anything about who she is, her clothing, her hair, her house, her things like that, it actually hurts the woman more than it hurts a man for this equivalent thing, and vice versa. If you criticize the man's actions, it hurts him more than it would for a woman. Okay, so now the next one I have is do it myself. That's a value for men. Whereas for females, for women, it's do it together. Okay, because women getting together increases oxytocin. Women talking and talking together increases oxytocin and actually serotonin because the oxytocin helps the serotonin to get come up. So that's a very important thing, actually. Which I had to learn as a hypnotherapist to tell my male clients, go take a drive by yourself. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't want to do that, but it was great for the men. So I've had to learn these things of how to tell men, or how to work with men in a sense. Men, the testosterone and dopamine are all about dynamic, power, strength, everything like that. Everything is dynamic. Whereas oxytocin and serotonin is calm. Okay, serotonin is a calmness of life's okay, everything's fine, I feel supported in life. It's just like everything's okay. See, it's not high up or high down, it's nothing low, it's just calm. And then oxytocin is actually a blissful calmness. You feel calm, but in a beautiful, blissful way. It's just incredible. Okay, testosterone is all about big. Oxytocin is all about little. Okay, so, big things, big TVs. Oh, in fact, dopamine goes up when you have a big TV. Okay, that's why men love big TVs. Okay, because their dopamine is bigger. And so that brings up their testosterone. And then when they watch these blow-em-up, I call them blow-em-up movies, anything where anything blows up, it increases their dopamine and their testosterone. And so it's really good. Just had a situation, actually, where a family member, a young male, he's an adult, but, younger than me, who felt depressed. And this other, his father said, well, let's go to a movie. And they went to one of those, shoot 'em up, everything's blowing up, shooting everything and all that stuff. He felt great after that because that's true. That's perfect for the dopamine and the testosterone of a man. That's why they love these movies that blow up everything. That's what I call blow up everything. Whether there's explosions everywhere or everybody's killing everybody or whatever, all those kind of movies, are perfect for testosterone and dopamine, terrible for oxytocin and serotonin. So that's why I didn't go to the movie, because it wouldn't have been good for my brain chemistry. You know, sometimes I do watch these. I actually like the whodunits, because I like the figuring things out part of it. So it feeds my brain. It doesn't really feed my chemistry so much as my brain. So anyway, but that's also why guys typically don't go to chick flicks, because typically they'll fall asleep. Okay, it's very, very difficult for them to watch a chick flick, typically. Some of them can. I haven't figured that one out, but a few of them can. Okay, so anyway, little is like, oh, how cute, look at the little baby, or look at the little kitten, or little puppy. All of that's oxytocin. Okay, now back to male testosterone dopamine. Save the world. Everything is big, right? So they want to save the world. For women, it's actually help people. So it's kind of like help the world. You see the difference? And so when you talk to a man, you know, focus on something that where he's actually saving the world, doing something big. Whereas the women, it's actually more of a interpersonal thing. You know, and yes, it may mean that a woman wants to help a lot of people, but in a sense, her chemistry is focused on helping people. Okay? This was an interesting one. This next one I learned from John Gray, and it was fascinating to me. So men need to be trusted. They have a value of wanting to be trusted. Okay, women have a value of needing to be able to trust the other, which is fascinating because it really is interesting. The chemistry of a man often may do things where the woman doesn't trust him. But he has a deep desire to be trusted. So this can be used in many ways. For example, a woman can actually say to a man, when she feels it, I trust you. And so women do that as much as possible. When, you know, appreciate your man or any male for what he does. But also, if you do trust him of anything, say it. Because it actually will be stronger chemically inside of him for him to hear that you trust him about something, you know, whatever. So let's say he's trying, you know, hey, do you want to go to restaurant A or restaurant B? And let's say you don't care. Let's say either one's fine. Then you might say to him, you know, I trust you. Pick the one you think I'd like. Okay, then make sure you like it. By the way, on restaurants or movies or anything he chooses to do, women, if you criticize him for his choice, that's criticizing his actions and you're destroying his testosterone. So it's better not to say anything. Okay, don't criticize. So if he picked out the movie and you go to, oh gosh, that was a terrible movie, da 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 da, you are essentially saying that what he did was terrible. Okay, his testosterone crashes. Okay, so that's a very interesting one. And then being able to trust, I did get in touch with, I didn't realize this, but I really got in touch with it, that yes, for women, if you think about it, we are the weaker sex physically, okay, we literally are. And I mean, there's examples where you have, you know, like Olympic champion woman, okay, that, you know, but how many of us are that? And so we are the delicate ones. And the more delicate we get in touch with, actually the better, because that increases our oxytocin. And then the more feminine we feel, the more we're in touch with our femininity, the more our oxytocin goes up. And oxytocin is the love and bonding hormone that truly will change the world. If we really, really gave enough women oxytocin, the world would change. And enough of what the woman needs. Okay, so please, please, all women and actually all men help your woman or any woman in your life to increase their oxytocin and serotonin. And women, please work on increasing your oxytocin. Okay, so we are delicate, and sometimes we don't trust as well, because in a sense, life can be fearful. And so what we have to work on is being able to trust. And then what men have to work on is to be able to be trustworthy. But at least women, we can tell the men when we can what we do trust, you know. Like I said about choosing a restaurant or something like that. It doesn't have to be total trust or whatever, you know, just anything. Okay, now the next one, which we're going to talk more about later, is taking credit and sharing credit. So testosterone takes credit. Oxytocin shares credit. Okay? It makes sense in a lot of ways. So testosterone needs to be built. A lot of people call this the male ego. And really, male ego is testosterone. But when you understand the chemistry of this, you understand how important this is. The man needs to be able to have the confidence to be able to go out into the world and kill the lions and tigers and bears. Okay, he needs that. Okay, because that's what he's built to do, provide and protect. He's built to do that. And if we tear him down, he doesn't have the testosterone to provide and protect. Or if life tears him down, or the xenoestrogens in all of the pesticides hurt men because they give them a lot of estrogen and reduce the testosterone effect in a sense. So anyway, it's actually good for a man to take credit in a way. Now, of course, when you have a male and female, let's say there's a situation where they're both doing something. Let's say both of them painted the living room, okay? And a family member comes in, or a friend or whatever. Oh, great, you know, beautiful color in your living room. Well, if the man's testosterone is not high enough, he will take credit. Yeah, you know, I really like the painting, and I like doing painting or whatever, you know, some kind of way of taking credit for it. And he may omit the fact that his girlfriend, wife, whatever, also worked on it, you know. And then she might get angry. And he doesn't realize, he's like, he doesn't understand why, you know. It's like his testosterone went up because he took credit. So men, it's important for you to realize that that will hurt the woman. And then women realize that the man will do that because it's part of his testosterone nature. It's actually, in a sense, good for him. Not good for the relationship, but good for him. Okay, now women share credit. Now, testosterone, like if this were a business situation, in the business world, the man looks at the woman like, why do you always have to share your credit? Aren't you strong enough? Don't you have enough confidence in yourself? And it actually can be really bad in a business situation for the woman to always share credit. Okay, if a woman manager, if there's a woman manager and she's working with males, she basically should do the like him and take credit. Okay, yes, I did this, you know, maybe, yeah, it was my team, but, you know, whatever, you know, that type of thing. So it's a really interesting concept, I feel, that fascinating, but it's important to realize what the chemistry is doing and why. Okay, so here we go, more about taking and sharing credit. Okay, so testosterone, here's an important thing, especially in relationships. Because testosterone takes credit for everything, it takes credit for good and bad. Okay? Because that's what testosterone does. So a man takes credit for his woman being happy or unhappy. And this is something really true. He could be down the hall. Let's say down the hall, and he sees his wife or girlfriend, whatever, like down the hall, and he sees her in, let's say, the kitchen, let's just say, or whatever down the hall is, and he sees that she's happy, and she has a smile on her face. He feels successful. She may not even know that he's looking, okay, and they're not talking, you know, he's down the hall doing whatever. And yet he feels successful because he takes credit for her happiness, okay? But he also takes credit for her unhappiness. So if she's all unhappy, for whatever reason, he'll take credit. And it destroys his testosterone, destroys his confidence. He gets grumpy and grouchy and not fun to be around. Okay. So that's why women try to handle your unhappiness with your girlfriends. Hopefully not with the man you're with. Okay. Let's see. Actually, on my slide, I'm pretty much said everything on here. Let's see. Her unhappiness crashes his testosterone, and it results in him reacting negatively in ways that are negative to the woman. Because then he's all grumpy, and she's like, well, what's your problem? Or something like that, maybe. And he gets grumpier. And then she gets grumpier and unhappy, and then it's a standoff and all this other stuff. When actually it's like, woman, just keep your unhappiness to yourself and your girlfriends, and let him be a success somehow, one way or the other. And that helps a lot. It's quite interesting. Whereas, see, with women, complaining, commiserating, criticizing, all of the C's, I tend to call them, all of these things that we can do, it's okay between women because it does not destroy our brain chemistry. In fact, it increases serotonin. So we could be complaining about something for an hour and our serotonin will have gone up. Fascinating brain chemistry, okay? So that's why women can sit there and gossip and criticize and complain and, you know, oh, did you see this and blah, 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 and on and on and on, and not create a solution. And it drives men crazy, of course, because they are desperate to create a solution, because this helps the woman's brain chemistry and it hurts the man's brain chemistry, which is why it's best for the women to do it together, okay? And women, if you're going to call a girlfriend on the phone, try to, if possible, make sure your husband or boyfriend or whatever is not listening, if possible. If both of you understand this, he's going to go, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and have fun with your girlfriends. And he needs to understand that she just needs to get it off her chest. Okay? So that's the best way. Women, take care of yourself with unhappiness. Okay? Heal yourself. You know, go to a hypnotherapist, go to a therapist, go to a life coach, go to anything else to get help, okay? Women, it's good for you to get help, not good for a man. Help is bad, okay? Help makes a man feel weak. That's why in my marketing, actually, we try to make sure that we use the word training and not help. And I apologize because some of us, you know, being women, and my main writer for marketing is a woman, so she and I have to always, I put help there. Okay, let's put training. And we talk to the men in our lives, is like, is this word okay or is that word better? You know, so we found out training is better. Coaching and training are good in marketing if you want to attract men, okay? Or even in a relationship, you know, counseling. So let's go to marriage counseling or couples counseling. That'll drive a man bananas, okay? Because essentially what it's saying to him is you are weak and you are flawed and you know, what you're doing is wrong and bad, blah, blah, blah. Their testosterone crashes, and of course they don't want to do that. And then you want to talk about the problem? See, talking about a problem destroys the man's chemistry. Whereas talking about it for a woman is great. So that's why women, we need to handle it within ourselves, okay? Or it can be with a counselor. So it could be a male counselor. That's okay. See, they're being paid to do it. They're being paid to listen, so they're okay. They'll sit and listen because they're being paid. So that still increases their testosterone and their dopamine because they're being paid. But if it was like a male friend, nah. You know, they need solutions too. Okay, unless it's a gay male friend, that's a totally different situation. Okay, so the work balance at home. Who's going to do what? Now remember, we are built to be hunters and gatherers or nurturers. You know, it's called hunters and gatherers with the concept that the women are gathering berries and the men are going out hunting. Okay, and that's fine. But I kind of like to use the word nurturers because women are built to nurture children, nurture the community. That's how women are built. So, you know, a few hundred years ago, how we had relationships were perfect for the brain chemistry. But how we do today is very different, but it is workable. It's just that we have to understand it, for one, that we really are built to be the same as we were a few hundred years ago, but our culture has changed. So what do we do? Okay. And here we have this huge situation that huge numbers of, let's say you're not even married. Well, then you're not sharing finances probably. And of course the woman has to work. Okay. Or the situation where that's a married couple and the woman works because you have to financially, let's say, or want to. It could be just want to. It may not be have to. Okay. So for whatever reason that the woman's working also, it really creates a problem basically, because male bodies and female bodies are still the same as they were a few hundred, thousands of years ago even. Okay. So now we are built to share. We're built to do the other's work if there's a problem. So just like I like to think of like being in the prayer. Okay, this is the second part. All of a sudden, my internet crashed. So, looks like we're recording again. Looks like I'm almost up and running. Apologize about that. Okay, so we're going to talk about reframing. Okay, so reframing really is looking at something differently. So putting a new frame around it, in a sense. If you had a picture and you change the frame, you look at it differently. It looks different, basically. Okay, so we're going to reframe the whole concept of grocery shopping. So let's say we're in a situation in a relationship where the woman is doing all the grocery shopping, and she's taking care of the kids, and she's cleaning up the house, and she's exhausted, and she is really angry at her husband or boyfriend or something like that, whatever it is. Okay, that's a common thing in a lot of relationships. So Yeah, good. Looks like we're still back on. Okay, so I apologize anyway about that, losing my internet, but we're back up. Okay, so here's what can happen. When you really understand the chemistry, we can reframe it. So instead of having food, in a sense, as gathering, you know, like that's kind of like the gathering concept where the woman's going out and gathering berries and all that. Okay. Instead, if you reframe it as the man providing, he's providing for his family. And so all he has to do is actually shift with that frame of mind. I'm the, you know, hero. I'm the provider. I'm the one taking care, you know, not taking care of, that might not be the right words for man exactly, but, you know, I'm the hero who's, you know, providing for my family. So if he thinks of it more like, I'm going out, I'm going to hunt for the food and bring it home, okay? When it's that frame of mind, then his chemistry goes up. And then he feels like doing it. And then when he comes home, the wife or girlfriend needs to be appreciative. You know, not like, yeah, you know, I'm so glad you're finally doing something around here to help. You know, that's the worst thing to do. Because what's the point? Why would he want to do it again? Okay, so it's just like, oh, thank you so much. You're just the best provider ever. You know, you go out and you slave and, you know, you could even talk about you fight the hordes of people or something, to, you know, or the traffic, or you fight the traffic to get there. You know, anything that makes him feel like a man, essentially, that makes him feel like a provider, okay? So that's one way to, you know, a great way to do that type of thing. Now, one thing I do want to mention, that after coming home from work, a man needs 20 minutes to rest or do mindless activity. Now, his need is 20 times more important or stronger than a woman's. Why? Because he has 20 times more testosterone. And yes, let's say you both came home from work at the same time and she's tired too. Okay. But then she thinks all the millions of things she has to get done. Why? Because she has a lot of dopamine, which tells her, I got lots to do. Having high dopamine, you have a huge to-do list. When you have low dopamine, which a man would tend to have when he comes home from work, he definitely has low testosterone, then he doesn't see a to-do list at all because he's just totally tired. Okay, now, if he rests or does mindless activity for about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes depending, but at least 20 minutes, then he's refreshed. His testosterone has gone up, which helps the dopamine go up too, okay? And the mindless activity can be watching TV. It could be, you know, puttering in the garage. It could be anything he feels like doing, and it's mindless or it's a rest, okay? So here's, after really looking at this, I really, really feel, women, you need to let your man do that. Women, feel free to take a rest too, okay? But don't sit there and gab with him right when he comes home from work. Give him at least 20 minutes. Now, if he feels like talking, okay. But pay attention. Let him kind of set the tone. His need is 20 times more than ours. So we have to understand that. And then he'll be much better. Okay, he needs a to-do list also. See, it's helpful for a woman to give a man a to-do list. It's helpful for her not to harp on it. Okay? It's, you can make things an emergency because the man's an emergency man. Okay? Remember when I talked about, okay, the lion comes into the village. The men, all the blood rushes to the action center of their brain. They pick up the spear and they go kill the tiger or lion or whatever it was. Okay. They are built to take care of emergencies. So women, if you want something to get done, you can say, oh gosh, we need this to be done today. Can you do it today, honey? Please? Make me feel so good. Smile on the face. You know, because then he's like, he'll want to do it. But every time you talk about something, if it sounds like you're criticizing, you're destroying his testosterone every single time. So he has no incentive chemically to do it. So, for example, women, if you ask a man to do something and he doesn't, then guess what? The next time you ask, pretend like you never asked ever before. Oh, honey, you know, would you, you know, whatever, you know, paint the side of the house. Okay, let's say he's the one to do that. And then maybe it's better to have it on a to-do list, but anyway. Then let's say a week or two goes by or a month or whatever it is. Honey, would you paint the side of the house? But you don't say, honey, you haven't painted the side of the house. Okay, that's no way to get him to do anything. Okay, so appreciation works wonders, really wonders. You got to try it with everybody. It is so cool and really, really cool to watch it with little boys because they kind of square their shoulders and you can see it in their body and they you can see how proud of themselves they are and it's just so cute. It's so adorable. I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a good thing to do. So in everything that you're thinking about with who does what in the home, consider the brain chemistry ramifications, okay? Because if you notice, I was talking about ways to work with the brain chemistry so that we can make things work better. Because if the man, for example, comes home from work, and yeah, I'll just say husband, wife, you know, whatever it is, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. Okay, he's 20, in a sense, he's 20 times tireder, sort of. It's not exactly that, but, you know, his chemistry is lower, 20 times lower than the woman's, okay? But if she's trying to say, you know, you didn't paint the side of the house yet, that type of thing, some kind of task. Okay, he's not going to feel like doing it because his chemistry is low anyway. And then, so that's why men have to rest. Anytime they use up their testosterone, they have to rest. Whereas women, our testosterone is 20 times less, so we use it up. Okay, well, maybe we need a little rest. I take 5-minute naps. My boyfriend takes 20 to 30. If he's really tired, 30 minutes. And I lie there for 5 minutes. Sometimes I lie there for half an hour, but, you know, I'm just kind of, usually I'm working on my cell phone, you know. I'm usually not wanting to nap, okay, because I got my to-do list, you know, so maybe I'm thinking my to-do list, but I'm lying down to relax. Or I lie down for 5 minutes and that's all I need. Then I feel refreshed, I go back to work. Okay, so consider the brain chemistry ramifications. Consider who has a stronger need, either due to brain chemistry or due to personal desires or issues. Okay, so, and I mean that, desires or issues. So, let's say, I think who does the bills is fascinating to me, actually. Now, when I got married, I had already had a full career, and I'd been on my own for, actually, you know, well, not 2 decades, but almost getting that direction, like 15 years on my own. So I was used to doing all my bills by myself, right? I wasn't the best at them because I'd be late sometimes because I just, you know, I was the kind of person that didn't really like doing that. Okay, got married to a guy who had been doing accounting all of his life. So he was great at paying bills. Well, he wanted to, because he had already always done it, he wanted to take over, and it made sense. Okay, it made sense for him to take over. But yet losing, in a sense, the power was hard on me. It was really hard, but it made sense. So I had issues because I didn't pay bills on, that was bad. I learned a lot. I pay bills on time now. But back then I wasn't so good at it. I had the money. I just didn't take the time. Okay, so I had issues, so it was better for him. Okay, yet I've known lots of couples, and it's fascinating to me is that a lot of couples where the man does the bills, other couples where the woman does the bills. So actually growing up, my father did the bills. For whatever reason, I never asked my parents why they did it that way, but they liked it. So it's personal desire, too. So my dad liked doing it, I think, and my mom, they seemed to be totally okay with it because, I don't know, they worked it out really well. Okay, but it's either way. See, now that's a fascinating one that people, you know, in some families, oh, of course the wife does it. In other families, oh, of course the husband does it. Whatever, you know, but if one has particular desire to do it, or that they're better at it, or that the other one's not as good at it, that can make the decision. So I also know people where the wife is a terrible cook and the husband's a great cook. Well, guess what? He cooks the dinner most of the time. He cooks the food most of the time. In my case, my boyfriend, actually, he loves cooking. He also loves grocery shopping, so I'm like happy. Because why? He feels that he's providing. He's going out into the world, and he's really good at figuring out good deals. You know, he finds what's on sale and this and that and everything else. And he loves doing that. Okay, great. Okay, so he loves doing it, so I don't. Okay, I mean, I'm okay with shopping, but he wants to. Okay, he wants to cook. Okay, I'm a fine cook, you know, but I'm perfectly happy to have him do it. Why? Because his desire was stronger than my desire. Okay, it wasn't a thing of either one of us having an issue, but yeah, if one of them person, like let's say the wife, because people, you know, the tendency of our culture, it's partly the culture, but a lot of it is also the chemistry is for the woman to be cooking, okay, but if she's a terrible cook and the guy likes to cook, great, let the guy cook. Okay, so you figure out, really figure it out of the desires or the issues and reframe things, okay? Because, see, cooking can be reframed as providing. And I think that that's why there are male chefs and men who like to cook. Well, they enjoy the creation, okay? Creating something new is also like a project. It's also like a goal. You have a setting a goal. And all of this increases testosterone. So it's a way of almost looking at it, okay, as to how you can reframe it. Okay, so now if you're both bad at something, of course, then basically try to heal it. You know, there's hypnotherapists out there, life coaches, therapists, whatever, you know, type of way of healing it, that's a good thing. Or consider reframing. You know, look at something to see how you can reframe it. Cut it down into smaller pieces, whatever it is, okay? Another big point that I want to make is to not sweat the small stuff, and it really is all small stuff. In the big picture, the essence, the most important things are the things to think about. So, for example, let's say you have a big fight with your spouse about something, of who does what, or just anything. You know, maybe somebody, maybe one of the spouses likes to get up early in the morning, and the other one can't stand to have all the noise and all this other stuff. And you know what? In the big picture, when you really look at it, if you have somebody who is the right person for you to stay with for the rest of your life, that's small stuff. See, and like I've said in a lot of this, I've learned a lot of this myself. I've gone through some major traumas in my life. I also was sick for, very ill for 8 years. When you're sick for 8 years, in bed, in pain, for 8 years, you realize that most stuff is small stuff. Almost everything. The important thing are the people in our lives. And you know what? If they pick their nose or whatever, you know what? It's small stuff. It really is. And just remember that in relationships, that, you know, is it really that big of a deal? You know, I have a fabulous relationship that I know that he'll take care of me no matter what. Okay, we're both the same. We have each other's back. And that's going to be for however long we're alive, you know. And I know that. And there's certain things he's a little too strong about or whatever. But in the big picture of things, so what? Really, so what? I'm a man who adores me and takes care of me and will for the rest of my life. That's what's important. That's what's important. Not, you know, is he too much this way or that way or whatever. Yeah, You know, he has a little bit. And sometimes it grates on my nerves. Okay, so what? You know, sometimes he criticizes me for who I am. Because he hasn't learned all the brain chemistry stuff, and he doesn't realize it. And then I kind of wonder, why is he criticizing me? Oh, he's being a guy. Okay. In the big picture, that's small stuff. And besides, what I do is all I do is I just say, hey, he's being a guy. He's actually saying something that is a positive thing, or like the nicer way to say things in the guy talk. Now, in female talk, no. You know, it isn't. But I can then consider, okay, well, that's one of the 10 things I can forgive him for. I think I told that story, you know, a little cute story. You know, it's, you know, you have this list of 10 things, but you don't really remember the list ever. So anything that grates on your nerves about the other person, so, oh, it must be one of the 10 things to forgive them. Okay, and you just keep on forgetting what they are. So that's what's important. Okay. So, now, here's a list, and this is directly from Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, actually the original book. The only thing is, at the time, John Gray didn't know, he didn't understand the brain chemistry, he learned that later. So what it is this is the primary emotional needs that in his book. And truthfully, these emotional needs, for the men, that'll increase their testosterone and their dopamine. For the woman, it'll increase her oxytocin and her serotonin. Okay? And one of the things I like to do is, or this is when I first was learning this, I actually wrote down the 6 items, the 6 words, and I just saw how I could use them. So the man needs trust, acceptance, appreciation, admiration, approval, and encouragement. So what I did was I just saw, okay, how can I show trust to, you know, in this case, when I was learning this, I was married to my husband. So now, okay, so it would be to my boyfriend. How can I show acceptance? How can I show appreciation? Remember, appreciation for his actions. Admiration. And if you think about it, you know, if you love the person, can't you find something to admire about him? I mean, it's, you know, it's really awesome. And men love to be a hero. Now, it has to be real. It has to be real. But I have used this at times. Now, if the man doesn't have enough confidence, he really almost can't accept being a hero. It's kind of sad, but, you know, that's reality. He needs to actually heal the reasons why he doesn't have confidence. Or he needs to just increase his testosterone to be able to feel that he really deserves to be admired and to be the hero. Okay, so approval, encouragement. Okay, I'm going to go back and forth a little bit. Let me talk about the woman. Okay, she needs caring, understanding, respect, devotion, validation, and reassurance. Now, the reassurance was interesting to me because I've had boyfriends over the years, or whoever, I can't, you know, I've had relationships over the years that the man would say, why do you always need reassurance? You know, he said, use the word reassurance. Why do you always need me to tell you you're okay, or something like that, or whatever words he used. But fascinating that this is what a woman really does need, is reassurance. And it's okay to ask for it, and it's okay for the man to give it. And when a man understands this, this is awesome, because I have a fabulous relationship in this respect with my boyfriend. He's always willing to give me reassurance. Always. And we do it in a playful way. We do it, you know, lots of times, and I feel great about it, and he feels great about it. So that's really important. So caring, of course, that we've talked about that a lot in this class, how important caring is for the women, but caring and sharing, anything that's caring. Man, you can even tell her, you know, I care about you. I mean, that's awesome for a woman to hear. Now, it has to be real, okay? Understanding, the woman wants to be understood. Now, I understand men, almost all men say, I don't understand women. But try, you know, and that's okay. If you just try, you'll understand more now that you know the chemistry, or you know an amount of it, that helps. And you can understand a woman when you, the more you learn about her brain chemistry, because then it makes sense. It makes sense. It's just logical that her, when her chemistry is working a certain way, it's like, oh, okay, of course she's this way because that's what her chemistry is having her do. We've talked about respect. So men need appreciation for their actions. Women need respect. It's appreciation for who she is. Respect and appreciation for who she is. I at first, you know, thought it had to be appreciation for women, and it's actually respect is higher. And I told the story that John Gray said of the woman, you know, the man sitting, you know, in his favorite armchair, and he's, you know, essentially ordering the woman around. Oh, honey, could you bring me this? Oh, thank you. You're the best. And, you know, can you bring me this? Can you bring me all that? And really, that's lack of respect. See, so respect really is higher. Now, devotion's an interesting one. It's unfortunately a word that almost doesn't exist in our culture. And it's fascinating to me. I mean, when I first was learning this, I hadn't experienced it. And devotion is so awesome. So men, if you can give your woman devotion, treat her like a queen, I mean, she's going to be with you forever. Now here's, in fact, what I mentioned it in this class previously is really oxytocin is almost the secret to everything. And I talked about how after 2 years, the dopamine wears off. So dopamine is the excitement, new, different, okay? So the relationship's no longer new and different. Okay, which increases dopamine, therefore it increases testosterone, especially in the man, and that wears off. The only thing that will carry the relationship forward is oxytocin. Now, oxytocin is essential for both people because that's love. So the man also has to feel love for the woman, and he has to use that love to carry him past the lack of new and different. And here's a very important thing. In the man's case, we have to not equate the excitement of new and different, of dopamine, with, oh, everything's boring now. Okay. See, the dopamine, when it goes away, is boring. Okay, in a sense. I mean, it's everything's the same. And that's low dopamine. Okay, now men typically in our culture have low dopamine to begin with. And if you eat a lot of pizza and a lot of pasta and a lot of that kind of stuff, you especially have low dopamine because you need meat, you need protein. In fact, it's really important. If a man ever says, oh, I really need a big juicy steak, well, he needs a big juicy steak, okay? So a woman should never criticize that ever and make sure it happens. However, because if he says that, it means his body is craving the protein, and it needs it, and it needs it for his testosterone and his dopamine. So he will become very, very grumpy if he doesn't get protein. Okay. It's really important. So after the 2 years, what's important is to get in touch with the oxytocin. Now, men, if you have been giving the woman oxytocin in a sense, or in other words, doing things for her oxytocin to go up, that's when yours goes up. Okay? Why, in a sense, not whining and dining, because that gives the impression of like dating, but when you get good at this, where maybe you bring flowers home every so often, okay, as a surprise, just because. Well, that increases her oxytocin. And then she feels loved. And if you really want to know, it can be one flower. Okay? It doesn't have to be a dozen roses. Okay. John Ray talks about this in a really neat way, where he talks about it with points. And he says women basically count points. But if you give a woman a dozen roses, that gives you 1 point. If you give a woman one rose, it gives you 1 point. And if he puts, do the math, guys. See, actually, giving her one rose is very special. Remember where oxytocin is about little things? One rose is special because it made that rose special. And this is a special rose just for you. See, that's beautiful, and that will increase the woman's oxytocin. Give her a dozen roses, it does too. But actually, it's increasing dopamine. It's increasing testosterone, which she doesn't usually need more. It's not bad, and it's fine once in a while. It's fine to mix it up, you know. But I'm just giving you a hint that you really can buy a single flower, a single rose, in a bud vase, and bring it home, and it's like, wow. I mean, that's fantastic. And I'll bet any woman listening to this right now is going, oh, how sweet. I love it. Okay. I've always liked cards. And there was a situation where typically, you know, my boyfriend forgot, you know, and it was the night before, whatever it was. I can't remember when it was our anniversary or my birthday or Christmas. I don't remember. One of the times when I liked cards. Okay, it was even, whichever day. It was one of the days I liked cards. And I said, you know what? How about take a piece of paper and just draw me a card. Just write me, you know, do that. And he used to do that for his mom when his mom had Alzheimer's because she liked it. And you know what? It was just as good because it was so sweet. And he said a short thing in it. And it was so sweet. And I actually treasure that card just like I treasure a $5 or whatever they are cards. Because it's so sweet, and it was a sweet thing that he wrote to me. You see, it's not always about the money so much as the actions. Okay, little actions like that increase oxytocin. Then the man feels good, the woman feels good. Okay, and it'll carry you through the long term. Because that's a big one for carrying through the long term. Now, in the olden days, there was other things like, well, we don't get divorced. Nobody did, you know, type, well, what the people did, but it was a low percent of people who would get divorced. Okay, so that helped them carry through. That was a biggie. There's other things that can hold a couple together, but the chemistry of oxytocin is the best one. It really is. Instead of it being duty or obligation or whatever else, why not it be love? But the way to give love, the way to create love, is through honoring each other's chemistry. And for both of you to increase oxytocin. And especially for the man to increase it in the woman. And guess what? Both are happy. By just doing that. And by the way, things in the bedroom will be better. That's another class about sex. But it will actually improve the sex part a lot too. Totally different class. So, this is what's important in life, is really going after love. And when you honor each other's chemistry and work things out with that in mind, you can really hold on to the honeymoon period for the rest of your lives. It's a different kind of honeymoon period because it's based in oxytocin as opposed to dopamine. But it's much more rewarding for both people. Because the dopamine, it's nice, it's happy. Okay, whoopee, you know, all the excitement and all that. But it's not lasting, whereas love and bonding, see, oxytocin is the love and bonding hormone, and that will carry you through for the long term. Okay, so I'm going to open up for any questions. So if you have any questions or comments, you can If you're on the phone, it's star 6, and on the computer, it's click on the little guy with a little tucky, what are those things called, balloon above him. And I hope you've really enjoyed this class. I hope it's been an eye-opener. It really works. I have used all these techniques. I've used all this information. And it's why I'm happy with my relationship right now. It's happy why I've created a fabulous relationship that works for us. And because of knowing this information. And I hope I've really shown you how it can really carry you through so that you can revive the honeymoon period in your relationship and moving from the dopamine excitement to the love and bonding of oxytocin. So I don't see any questions and or comments, so we will end the call in the class. And if you are interested in a class with really interesting new information about sex, it will be only about the brain chemistry of sex, then let me know. It's quite interesting and you will learn some new information. It's not it's a class for people who want even more, even better, more different, new stuff. It's not like, okay, your sex is bad, so we got to fix it. It's not the point. It will do that too, but it's, you know, just a way to learn some really interesting information that can really take things much further and beyond. And it's fine for either male or female to take the class. Either way works. And you can be alone or you can be with your partner. Of course, with a partner is better, but it's fine either way. And also let me know if you would like more information about the brain chemistry for relationships, brain chemistry for, it could be dating. You know, most of the people, of course, related to this class are the purpose with or in a relationship typically, although some people might want to know about dating because brain chemistry related to dating, you know, there's other information which I can teach. And, of course, I can also teach about brain chemistry related to business relationships. So just let me know if you have any interest or desire in any of these other topics. And thank you so much for being part of the class. I appreciate all of you. It's been wonderful to have you in the class and wonderful to be able to help some relationships or just bring more happiness and love into people's lives. So thank you very much and goodbye. Goodbye for now.